We start hour number two with a conversation with a five-time Pro Bowl player. He is seventh in league history in receiving yardage, seventh in league history in all-purpose yardage. He is 12th in league history in receptions. He is an NFL Network analyst now. You can follow him on Twitter at 89SteveSmith. NFL Network carries two preseason games live this week. Big week for them. It includes a triple header on Saturday beginning at 3 p.m. Eastern. We are joined by Steve Smith Sr. Steve, it's great to have you back. How are you?
Doing good. How you doing, Joe?
Good, good, Steve. Great to hear your voice. Now, in January, Steve, you wrote to Roger Goodell to announce that you were retiring and that you would, quote, no longer be antagonizing defensive backs. Now that training camp has started up, Steve, and the preseason games are underway, is there any part of you that wants to be back out there antagonizing DBs?
No, I'm pretty settled in retired life and, taking it day by day. And, I think it's a new chapter and second page of a new chapter in my life.
And Steve, I feel like over the years when you and I talked during your career, you were always setting something up. I mean, you were focused on the business at hand and you were all in, but you always had your eye on life after football. You knew there would be life after football. So obviously you're very busy right now, but what about retirement? What's it been like so far? Is it what you expected?
I mean, it's different, I think one of the biggest things that is a relief is I actually have power or control over my own schedule, being a husband, being a father, and sometimes it is very tough when you can't be home for certain things. The kids don't care if you're a football player. They don't care if coach whoever says on this day you have to work or on this day we're switching it up to some degree. The family really, they don't look at you like that. They expect you to be there if you said you're going to be there, and then if the schedule changes, you kind of let them down. So I don't have that as much anymore. So that's cool. I get to be home. I took one of my boys. We went to Staples off of Max and just got the school supplies, where a lot of times my wife would do that because I would be in training camp. So it's unique and it's different, and it takes some adjustment.
Steve Smith Sr. joining us. So what about the selection there? Is it what you thought it would be at Staples? Did you find everything you need to find?
Yeah, I got it all taken care of.
You know? Good, man. Good. Glad to hear it. He's also an NFL Network analyst. So, Steve, talk about your new gig. I mean, what's it been like for you to make the transition now to an analyst? I mean, some former players obviously are reluctant to criticize current players. I've never known you not to speak your mind. Are you comfortable calling out other guys if that's what the job calls for?
Well, when I was a player, you always watched guys who played and how they would conduct themselves or what they would say. And so my whole objective, I look at doing my job, you do three things when you see a guy on television. You either turn it up, change the channel, or turn it off. And so I want to be a guy that is respected enough to turn it up, but also know that if I have to call a guy out, I don't really want to say I want to call guys out. I just want to more look at it from a player's perspective and ask questions that I think don't want to compromise the player or get that, I like to call it the stank face from a player. When an analyst or someone reports right after a game and they say, what were you thinking on that drop pass? Like, I don't want to ask that question. I know what he was thinking. After he dropped it, he was thinking, gosh, how did I let my team down? That's unlike me. And I don't want to ask those questions, and I don't want to put that player in that position. If I see a guy that you expect to have a good game and he doesn't, I guess I'm going to say that, talk in more of what the expectation of that player is and his history of a great performance instead of saying this guy's a bum. I understand how many hours and all the stuff that's put into it. And so for me, in a, 30-second soundbite can discredit that or question him. Because I want to be respected at all 32 teams. When I come to those teams' facility, that guys are willing to talk to me, not kind of roll their eyes like, man, you know, you talked about me as if you've never been here. So I don't want to be one of those guys. And I want to try very, very hard in my new transition in my job is to be looked at as an analyst who happened at one point in his career play football, but not really just be looked at as an ex-player. So I'm really learning the – I already know the X's and O's, but what I don't know is how the administrative part of football is and learning that. What is a guy – how does a guy get to the criteria? What are the criteria to be a first-round draft pick? You know, other than just being a baller, other than just catching a 1,000, you know, catches or having a 1,000-yard season in college, you know, what are some of the other attributes that scouts and the system in which all 32 teams operate and process? I want to learn that, and I've been learning that. And so with that being all said, it is equivalent to drinking water from a fire hydrant through a straw. It is a lot coming at you at one time, and I'm trying to figure it out and learn and really just see how everything unfolds and works.
Steve Smith Sr. joining us, an NFL Network analyst now. Of course, you can follow him on Twitter at 89SteveSmith. Now, you've been making your rounds. You've gone to a number of teams. You spent some time with the Buffalo Bills, and you spoke to their wide receivers. Sammy Watkins was still with the team at that time.
Yes.
And he said that your message, Steve, to him was, quote, "The DBs are not our friends. I love the Bills DBs to death, but at the end of the day, I've got to feed my kids. I've got a legacy I'm trying to chase." He was just telling us you're not a bad guy if you're an a-hole, basically. It was a good speech. End of quote. So as a receiver, how much of this game is just a personal battle between you and the defensive back?
Well, I think really one of the biggest things is it's a battle within yourself. You know, there's a lot of things going on. I mean, we're, you know, our game is talked about 24 hours a day via Twitter, Instagram, blogs and all that stuff. So you have, you know, in the last 16 years, things have changed dramatically. You know, we've baseball used to be America's pastime, but I really believe football has become that pastime. It's a 44, you know, each teams are making millions and billions of dollars, so it's really a big deal. So, you know, Sammy took what I said, and everybody takes a conversation differently. But basically what I was just pointing out to him is, you know, you could be friends, and you can, you know, you can have fun and once a coach you say you could jaw jack around all you want. But at the end of the day, when you step on the field, don't be surprised when a guy that you're standing next to in the cafeteria line takes a shot at you, because his job is online too. He's trying to feed his family. He's trying to get a job. He's trying to get a roster spot. There's 90 roster spots, beginner training camp, and it goes down to 53 at the end of before the first kickoff. So you can't always be friends with everybody. Friends are going to come and go. And so just making sure they understand that, because in our, if you watch how, you know, NBA, NFL, how the players are, a lot of guys that are rivals. You know, back in the 90s when I was watching the Pistons and the Chicago Bulls and the Los Angeles Lakers and the Boston Celtics, New York Knicks, those guys hated each other. But when you look at our game now, you know, in basketball, teams, guys are getting on the same teams and being rivals, but yet being friends, taking vacations together. And so just understanding, like, you know, you can do that, but also don't get it confused. It's still competitive, and you got to be willing, a friend at that point in time, you got to be able to be willing to, you know, hit them. And put them in the dirt, and I think sometimes the friendships kind of tank that a little bit.
Steve Smith Sr. joining us for a few more moments. Now, Steve, you've been very outspoken when it comes to the issue of domestic violence. So, what was your reaction when you heard that the league was suspending Ezekiel Elliott for 6 games? And what kind of a message does that send the rest of the players around the NFL?
I think it sends a huge message. Some people say it's a distorted message. Every guy is different. I think ultimately the decision and the message that the league is sending is things have to change. There's more guys coming out, and I don't want to say more guys, but I just did say that. But I think because of our game and the reporting of all that you do on the field and off the field, guys are coming out of college, unfortunately, sounding like with a rap sheet or perspective or something that isn't good. And I think the league is kind of trying to send a message like, look, just because you could catch a football but get in trouble at the same time, there are going to be ramifications, consequences. You're not going to be allowed to come to the draft, which will hurt your draft status. Then if you didn't have any issues in college, but you get here and you're doing some things that just doesn't represent our brand, you know, right, there are going to be consequences. And, you know, that's just kind of how it goes. The same thing goes in business. You could be a CEO of a company, have some things that don't work out, but after a while, you look at the guy for Uber. You know, you have to step down. Shareholders are going to require you to behave right, and they cannot allow someone to damage their share, their stock, that ultimately gets in their pocket, their own pockets. So you're going to have ramifications and consequences.
Now, Steve, you recently had the Hall of Fame game, we all did, and the Hall of Fame inductions, and I ran down your numbers at the start of this interview, and you've had the kind of career that generates a lot of attention when it comes to the Hall of Fame. What would it mean to you to be voted into the Hall?
I mean, it would be one of my goals that I've had for my career from the start. It is something that when you speak of Hall of Fame, everybody knows what it is. So if I get that opportunity, get that jacket, it'll be great. But, you know, we all can't get it. But if I get that chance, it'd be awesome. But at the same time, I still have had the opportunity to have fun and play the game in which I've grown to love and grew up watching and desired to play in, and I did it.
Steve, I got one last thought for you. You know, watching you your entire career, like all great athletes, I've always marveled at your drive, your fire, your desire, your determination, your will, you know, part of the things that make you so great. So I've got kind of a two-part question. If you could bottle that, you'd be a billionaire. We all want it. Is it something that you can manufacture? Is it something that's innate? Are you hardwired for it? Or is it a part of your background? And then once your playing career is over, does it wane or do you still have it and do you just try and disperse it in different ways now?
Well, one, you have to disperse it in different ways. I do believe the gift is, you know, the way I grew up. The curse is the way I grew up. And I say a curse because there's times where the passion that you have does not always require that same passion when you're talking to your 15-year-old daughter or when you're talking to your 19-year-old son or when you're talking to your wife who is not a football player, not a football coach. You know, so you have to consciously, you know, turn it off. There's a part of me where I'm happy I don't have to be on deal with that pressure of ball anymore. I could just kind of go. Now it's getting the kids to their events on time, which is easy compared to doing ball. So it all varies, and yes, if I could bottle up and sell it, it'd be great. But then I've always said this, if everybody played like me, then I'd be out of a job and I wouldn't be unique. So that's the gift and the curse about it. But, you know, if I can go back and do it all over again, I'm not really sure if changing things will be good because you never know the outcome. So I'm just happy where I am, and I'm enjoying retirement, trying to figure out what's the next step, and, you know, trying to take it day by day. And it's been pretty cool. A golf game went from a flat line to has a little life. You know, so I'm enjoying the competition between the courses, you know, just battling the course itself. And so it's fun. And so that's what I'm kind of doing is would really say more. I'm less golfing, more of killing some grass, but it's fun.
You've been so great with your time. I got to finally ask then, like, where are you playing and what are some of your favorite courses?
I played at Old North State in North Carolina. I think before the season starts to start work, I'm going to head up to Pinehurst to play up there. So, I mean, my game is going. I only play 9 holes right now because I walk, trying to, you know, get in shape and still be active. So, you know, 1 week I'm shooting a 9 holes, I'm shooting a 55, and the next one I'm shooting 64. So, you know, I'm just trying to figure it out. And this week I'm playing twice, and hopefully, you know, I'll be in the, you know, if I can shoot a 56 after not playing for about a month, I'd be very thankful.
All right, so I lied. One last follow. So you want to stay in shape, right? So you're on TV right now. If you're a guy that played the game as long as you did and you're constantly denying yourself and you're so disciplined, when you finally are done playing, do you kind of want to let it go and just do the things you were never able to do? Or are you feeling like, no, I'm on TV, I've got that pride, I've got that vanity, I still have to look the part?
I mean, just be transparent to vanity. You don't want to be – no guy of a in the – special category, wide receiver, running back. I think less of quarterbacks, but, you know, corner, linebacker. Nobody wants to be the fat guy, like the guy you see on TV, like, whoa, that dude blew up. You know, you don't want to be that, and I don't want to be that, especially when you're 5'9". You can look real fat on TV real quick. So, I'm just trying to stay in shape, be healthy. And really, too, one of the reasons to be healthy is, you know, my family has a history of diabetes. So that's a very important to me. And so I try to run and stay in shape so I have the opportunity to create a good habit of being healthy. But also because if I could run enough during the week, that means I get the opportunity, I'm healthy enough to walk my daughter down the aisle, whatever age that is. And so that's a constant battle. You look at all the stories and things about players and the health. You know, I'm just trying to be a healthy guy. That used to play football, but also just be a healthy father and husband. And I think that'll go a long way.
The NFL Network's got a triple header on Saturday beginning at 3 p.m. Eastern. He is an NFL Network analyst, and, of course, you can follow him on Twitter, at 89 Steve Smith. My man, you and I have had some great conversations over the years, and I would put this one right near the top. It is so good to have you back, Steve. Congrats, and really nice to have you on the show, man. Thanks so much.
Appreciate it. You do a great job. I've always been a big fan of you. Continue to be.
You too, Steve. You too. I'm proud of you. You're doing great. I'm not at all surprised, but you're attacking your new job the way I thought you would and just killing it already. Steve Smith, Sr., 5-time Pro Bowl player, 7th in league history in receiving yardage, 7th in league history in all-purpose yardage. What can I say? 89. Do not mess with the man.
89. Bottom line.
One of my favorites of all time. I'll be objective. I'll be impartial. I don't play favorites. I can't say that I do, but Steve Smith is definitely one of my favorites of all time. Big Steve Smith house. All right, your thoughts on that? Back with a vengeance. You see, that's why I get 2 weeks off, right? Because I come back like that. Fired up and ready to talk. Ready to do some business.